Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Whenever we hear long lining, we think about commercial fishing fleets and all the sharks that get killed with all these hooks. But did you know that scientists also long line in order to catch sharks that they can attach sensors to of different kinds? Yeah, true, and that sucks. For example, the Bahamas was one of the first countries that banned commercial longlining, but still allowed that scientists could still keep longlining, again, for the sake of getting the sharks so that they can attach their sensors. So you're probably thinking that this is not a big deal, but is it not? When I first started to work over in the Bahamas, that was in the late 80s, experimental longlining was already happening, and even back then, I thought that is not right, because animals got killed. And of course, the proponents of this technique would say, or even said back then, that there are very few sharks killed, and the technique is necessary in order to get sharks that they can be tagged and attached, whatever they can do. For me, this is like all the people who feel that it's okay to use animals in lab experiments. It's not right, and it should not be allowed. We cannot allow animal abuse for people's gains. So I'm a very strong opponent to the use of longlining, even then when sharks are still alive once the scientists get to them. You may ask, what are all the alternatives? Well, there's always the good old breath holding and diving down. Granted, those sharks don't stand still, nor do they wait until you reach them. So of course, all these, I have to say, out of shape scientists that rather sit in their labs and in the office would have to deal with a bottleneck. Should they still be proud men and do it on their own? But, well, that is wishful thinking when I look around. That would be okay if we would not allow that anyone just tags for this and that scientist, that the scientist has to do it on its own. Then, you know what? We would have much less of this useless pseudoscience we see more and more with experimental longlining at its core. So, you may ask, what's the harm of sharks when they can be removed from the hooks alive? Well, then we would say, well, then he was on time. That is really something I always hear. Well, you know, so many have survived. Well, fact is that post-stress for some of these sharks lead to their deaths as well. And it's just 1 or 2%. No, it can be as high as 30 or even 40%. No shark that gets killed in scientific procedures can be excused. A death is a death, and I don't care if 10 sharks made it before one has to go. Once a shark gets killed in any scientific procedure, one has to change the approach. But you know what? That's wishful thinking. Setting long lines for scientific purposes has more than a 30-year history. And when you peruse related papers, it is clear that they always had to deal with dead sharks, or they died not long after they removed them from the hook. I'm always amazed how nonchalant colleagues talk about that. Well, it's not so much to talk about the sharks they kill, it's how they refer to the surviving sharks. And you know what? They always get away with it, because losing sharks during scientific experiments is accepted. It always baffles me that people call themselves shark researchers and then imply that they care for the sharks and so make all these good sounding statements against commercial shark fishing, but then go in the field and kill the shark because they use the same techniques. Something is wrong here. And it does not matter, again, that they do it on a smaller scale. So this problem won't go away, except should the hosting countries where the research is performed ban any type of longlining, including a scientific one. Don't get me wrong, any scientist out there has to follow the rules how animals have to be treated when doing research, but unfortunately, experimental longlining is just the most accepted one when it comes to sharks. So it's pretty much a holy cow to go after scientific procedures that have been accepted for so long and by any council out there. The only thing that would be left to fight it with if established scientific magazines reject any manuscript where sharks died while data were collected, or just ban longlining. But you know what? If scientists would realize, hey, I cannot submit this paper here or there because I lost a few sharks, well, you know, they would lie. It's as simple as that, you know, and lying in scientific papers, that is not new. So anyway, it won't happen. I'm sure you can understand how frustrated I am when I see that some of my colleagues used long lining, killed sharks in the process, but got away with it because they move within the accepted boundaries. And that's why you belong to the American Elesmobranch Society or any other society out there, because then you meet colleagues that think the same way, you slap each other's back, we're the greatest, you know, and so what if we kill a few sharks? We do it for the sake of science. For me, it all comes down to respect. Respect, how to treat other life forms, how to behave in nature, and how honest one can be with oneself. For many people, sharks are just there to be used and abused. And if one dies, so what? This type of carelessness is what pisses me off. Throughout my entire career, I had to deal with this type of, I cannot even say colleagues, let's say idiots. And you can't talk sense into them because that is all they know when it comes to fieldwork. Set a hook, get a shark, ram any device into its back, get a ping, and slap each other on the shoulder. Wow. That's not science. That's still animal abuse. Now that I'm a linger again, so I better sign off, otherwise I start pointing fingers. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.